section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
86 Productions.
Mark, the best podcast providing the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. On today's show, we have Aaron, Roger, and Doug to join Andrew as we discuss the year-end review of all things wrestling. So let's talk about our off-the-mark awards. Aaron, newcomer of the year, who do you have?
So for me, I really like Jack Gallagher. I think that he was one of the shining stars, no pun intended, of the CWC, and he was somebody that I felt really stood out. Okay. I meant the shining stars are my newcomers of the year. No. Jack Gallagher, though. He really stood out, and I think that he is somebody that they can really build 205 Live off of and even the Cruiserweight division. You know, he's not going to go much higher than that, but I think that he's somebody who is the workhorse of a company.
I have to go with the glorious one who debuted in NXT this year, Bobby Roode.
Is it still funny whenever you hear the roo on Botchamania?
And then he just dies off.
I wouldn't say it's funny. I would say it's glorious. I went with Shinsuke Nakamura. You know, I had two or three choices for newcomer, but really, I think as far as, you know, when you look at NXT, and he hasn't had a bad match yet on his pay-per-views. I've enjoyed his series with Joe and the way they've done that feud. So Nakamura, you know, coming in with that match with Zayn in Dallas, he kind of hit the ground running, and he's not stopped sprinting since.
And I actually have newcomers of the year, and I think DIY was a tag team that actually they've done a great job. I mean, you know, Revival's great, but they actually, them and the Revival just had something going for each other, and I think that made NXT even better than what it was. And I think at some point NXT was starting to go down, and this made it go right back where it was. So that's what I think about them. Now, for the best video of the year, Roger, what do you have on this?
I looked for a video that kind of made an impact, got people talking about something that maybe we weren't talking about before. And to me, you know, it revitalized Matt Hardy's character. So I think Final Deletion, that was something that's probably the highlight of TNA for maybe the past year or two. So I think that's the best video I saw. All respect to CWC, which was a fantastic series. But I think the Final Deletion was kind of that like premiere video.
Is that your pun? Is it impact?
No, pun intended.
Yeah, so every award we do, somebody has to make a pun, I think is the rule.
Okay.
So mine actually was the Edge and Christian show on the WWE Network. I thought it was great. If I'm correct, they had 12 episodes, but they did a great job on that.
I'm going to go with the obvious choice in the CWC. That was just phenomenal wrestling. It was must watch. It was the one thing that I really had to watch either live or as soon as I got off work, ran home and put the wife to bed so I could go watch it in peace.
Mine was the Daniel Bryan retrospective that WWE put out. Roger and I were really lucky to be able to see Daniel Bryan retire out here in Seattle. And they put on an amazing set of videos shortly thereafter. And those were ones that you got to see kind of the human side of Daniel Bryan. And so that was definitely my favorite video this year. Now, for my Fallen From Grace wrestler this year, I have to go with Apollo Crews. You know, we saw him debut, and then we also saw him just really fall off the cliff, on Raw and on SmackDown, obviously, most recently. So he definitely fell from grace quite a bit this year.
And I think Damian Sandow is the next one that also fell from grace. I mean, he was, or Aaron Rex now, as he's known in TNA, but he was actually doing great in WWE, and they were doing stuff with him, and then all of a sudden he goes to TNA, and they did something with him, and then I think now he's just kind of plateaued there. They don't know what to do with him. So,
I've got Sami Zayn. You know, he goes from NXT and being the highlight of NXT, the man of NXT, the person you have to beat, has a great match against Nakamura, could have been match of the year, and then does nothing when he gets moved up to WWE. He has a quick run with Kevin Owens, which was good, but nothing. And, you know, this him starting with the Braun Strowman thing, it's at least something. But I mean, to go from being the man of a stable in NXT to absolute nothing, that's the fall of the grace.
For me, I went in a different direction. I kind of looked at the ladies on this one. If you look at that whole Divas Revolution, you know, we saw Sasha and Charlotte and Becky and even Bayley arrive. And to me, if you look back even a year ago, Paige was tagging with AJ Lee at WrestleMania 31. She's young. We thought she was the future. And now, you know, she's went from a pre-show match at WrestleMania 32 to we haven't seen her on television in months. Obviously, the suspension factors into that. But she doesn't look like she's part of their long-term plans, if she's even part of their plans at all. So I would say Paige is probably the biggest fallen from grace.
And the thing is, even on Total Divas, she's not even showcased like she used to be. And I think that says a lot. So they basically think that she has a lot of growing up to do, in my opinion, at least. So,
I'm sorry, Andy, did you just say that you watch Total Divas?
You should be on Fallen from Grace.
Fallen from Grace?
I changed my pick from Paige to Andrew Hughes. Yeah. At one point, he was a respected colleague of ours, and now we found out he watches Total Divas. And I feel like that is unacceptable, and he's my new winner. Thanks, guys.
It's for research. So underrated wrestler. Roger, who is your underrated wrestler of the year?
On this one, I suspect you and I may be on the same page here. But if we're talking about underrated wrestlers, I think it's the man who's pretty much had a career resurgence in 2016. It's The Miz. I mean, you know, he looked like he was kind of left for dead in 2015. He's gone back to being that kind of intercontinental guy who's built himself up to be bigger than he is. He's not fantastic in the ring, but he can go. That Fatal 4-Way match was fantastic. I've enjoyed his feud with Ziggler. He really has the strength where Ziggler's in ring. Miz is on the mic. And he's doing a good work with even his promo with AJ was entertaining. I think he's the underrated wrestler of the year.
And I agree with that, too, because I think that with the brand extension, he's been able to be showcased more, and you start to realize, oh, well, we actually need him on the show because he does this real well or he does that real well. So that is my thing. But in all seriousness, underrated wrestler, Miz, definitely. I don't think there's anyone that can top that.
I was going to go with Ty Dillinger, but I've decided to go an indie route, and I'm going to go with Cody Rhodes and the fact that he was on WWE. They weren't utilizing him, and so he asked for his own release, got it, and then has just been blowing it up on the indie scene. He is constantly getting work. I've watched a lot of his stuff off of YouTube and putting on phenomenal matches. The Crowder is always in it. And I couldn't believe that WWE couldn't get a storyline behind this guy. They would be more than blessed to have him back. And I look forward to his future work. I know he's got a contract, I think, with New Japan Wrestling. So very excited to see him over there.
So I went with Ty Dillinger. I think that when we look at some of the wrestlers, on WWE and Impact and some other promotions, I felt that Ty Dillinger is somebody that really should, he really stood out among some of the other people, in my opinion. And his work rate is so fantastic. He's great on the mic. He's charismatic. And he's somebody that I feel is really underrated for WWE. Now, one of the things, another category we have is the OMG, oh my God, moment of the year. And in particular, this what we do for this is it could be something such as that happens in a match. For example, like Mick Foley falling through the cell or falling off the cell would be that. Could also be a debut. A couple years ago, Andy and I both had Sting when he debuted because, to see Sting in a WWE ring, that was an OMG moment. For me this year, it was happened to be Hell in a Cell, and it was Shane going off Hell in a Cell to see him jump off trying to drop the elbow and to be able to see it live, too. That was something that, that I'll never forget, that type of a moment. So to me, that's my OMG moment of the year.
And the problem with that OMG moment is that we decided to leave when they're climbing up the cage opposed to waiting until they're at the top when we could just be like, oh, I'm going to go get some popcorn. Oh, wait, I'm right here. I might as well watch it. But
me and Doug got that one right. We meandered over there to get some popcorn just as he was jumping off the cage.
It could happen.
Just, yeah.
Or maybe Ty Dillinger coming to the Rumble this year at number 10, having the crowd chant 10, 10, 10 over and over again. And then he lasts like 10 seconds or something like that. But my OMG, speaking of the Rumble, my OMG moment of the year is when AJ Styles actually came into the Royal Rumble at number 3. If I go back to the network right now, it's right before that, right when Roman's like, huh, what's that music? Is that guy going to be more over than me? Well, of course he is. Everyone's more over than you. So that was my OMG moment of the year. And still to this day, when I watch it, I still get chills just thinking, oh my gosh, this guy could do something in the WWE. And now he's the WWE champion. So
All right. When you get to me, you know, I think OMG is that kind of that water cooler thing that you do at work. And what I'm going to go with is the final delete. Are we still recording this? Because I'm too afraid
yes,
that we got
are.
Deleted.
This time we are still recording.
Yes. So for TNA, which isn't necessarily well known against, I guess, a public eye, you know, this was that water cooler moment that everybody was going around talking about the final deletion. Hey, can you believe they actually did this? I mean, they've got a drone that's more over than Roman Reigns right now on TNA. So that, I guess, gets me my OMG moment of the year.
Yeah, my OMG moment, you know, I had three, just Shane jumping off the cage, partially because we were there, partially because it's WrestleMania, and partially because he jumped off the Hell in a Cell. Like, that is just an oh my God moment. One of the other ones that kind of came to me recently was I did not expect Lesnar to get squashed by Goldberg. That was quite surprising just because he's been booked like an absolute monster since he returned. But to me, the one that really set the stage, and I've mentioned before, I don't watch Raw, but this was one of the moments that had me tune into Raw, was when Hunter returned and turned on Rollins and handed the title to Owens, because, you know, it set the stage for Mania. And you know, Kevin Owens being champion was not something we expected. We all thought it was going to go to Roman, or we thought Rollins might get it back. So kind of seeing Hunter turn on his protege, to me, was the OMG moment of the year.
I just realized something. Didn't Shane return right before Royal Rumble, or right after, on Raw?
No, he returned right after Rumble, I think.
Yep, right after.
That
it
I would.
Stephanie.
Yeah, I would almost have to give that a runner-up when he came back, because I think that was the one time where I think we were like, oh my gosh, do not read the app. Do not read the spoilers. Do not read the spoilers. Because that was just like the one of the things that I saw live and I was just like, oh my gosh. But yeah. But anyways.
I mean, the pop on that is massive. I will say that none of us really saw that coming.
No,
yeah, I was.
But so far, but anyways, let's talk about the biggest disappointment. Now, Aaron, who do you have for that award?
Yeah, so biggest disappointment, a lot, it's either a wrestler, storyline WWE has gone with. So, for example, I think it was years ago when they had Reed Flair thrown into Paige and Charlotte's story, which just was completely unnecessary, or something that WWE just has done in general. And that actually is what I'm going with, which is the brand split equality that they have done with that, where I feel it's a huge disappointment that they decided to go with a brand split. But it's totally not equal. I mean, they really favored Raw heavily, despite the fact that SmackDown has been a much better show, and the way that they went about the brand split. I just feel that they did not give it a good look. You know, they, as we have said in the past about having women on one show and tag teams on another show, you know, so just the equality that they did for the brand split. And I say equality in air quotes, of course. That is my biggest disappointment.
My biggest disappointment this year, I think, is the ongoing TNA legal battles and the fact that it just, I mean, you have a brand right there that is supposed to be a corporate entity. They should know what they're doing. You have a lot of wrestlers over there that are uncertain if they're going to be working or going on or doing anything else. And then the constant bickering between all the partners and everything like that. It just it was really disappointing to see. I want TNA to succeed. I want them to be at least a challenge to WWE to have them have it to do quality TV shows instead of just putting out, you know, bland stuff like they have been. So the legal battles, just to me, it was a big disappointment this year.
For me, I think the biggest disappointment has been the WWE pay-per-views, specifically their big two. WrestleMania and SummerSlam are pretty much their premier events, in my opinion. And they were both subpar. WrestleMania 32, you could give it an excuse because of the injuries. SummerSlam had no such excuse. They had all of their main talent ready to go. And for the most part, if you take away AJ Cena, which was fantastic, that pay-per-view was bad. And that, to me, is not something that should happen when you have 4 hours with one of the most loaded rosters in history. You should not be putting on subpar shows when NXT, with a far less talented roster, is putting on absolutely fantastic pay-per-views in 2 hour span. So to me, the WWE, and then their lesser pay-per-views aren't even worth talking about. Roblox was an atrocity. So WWE pay-per-views were just, they were disappointing this year.
Roger, can you think of any main show that was better than NXT the night before?
Um, No, but I mean, that's also a high bar to clear, because the NXT pay-per-views, specials, whatever you want to call them, are of a very good quality. I mean, if I was to talk about WWE pay-per-views that were quality, I would say you're talking about Money in the Bank. That was probably their best pay-per-view of the year from top to bottom. And then maybe the Royal Rumble, just because the Rumble was a pretty exciting, decent return. Other than that, I mean, they've either disappointed or at best met expectations, whereas NXT, you know, TakeOver Brooklyn, TakeOver Dallas, and TakeOver Toronto were all fantastic shows.
All right. I think TakeOver Dallas was probably the best NXT show they put on, in my opinion. And I'm very happy and very glad that we were able to see that live.
And that's the weird part, too, because even watching it now, you still see how good the show was. Just the flow of it and everything, you don't realize it went, I think it went 2.5 hours. And you don't even realize it. And then the only thing that was disappointing was the Joe thing with the blood. But other than that, it was still a great show.
But the chants were fun. Like, we really got into the chanting. Like, even though it was annoying, it was fun to be a part of that event.
And is it hard not to dance when you hear Samoa Joe's music?
I do now.
What do you mean? I dance all the time. Doesn't everybody dance? Just like that guy at Dallas? You just get up and dance, man.
And by the way, I've looked for that video so many times, I cannot find it. Because that would be the best thing. Be like, oh, guys, look what I found. But anyway, so...
That would be the video of the year.
Yeah, that would be, yes, definitely. So for wrestling industry news, I have it on back.
Andy, what was your biggest disappointment?
Yeah, Andy, what's your biggest disappointment?
Oh, I am so sorry. I skipped over it because I see the name and I'm like, I can't believe I'm going to say it. But my biggest disappointment of the year goes to the Finn Balor. Because of his injury. Because he was there, and then bam, that was so disappointing to me. Like,
so the Finn Balor injury is the disappointment.
Not Finn Balor himself, but the fact that he got injured, I believe that actually did hurt WWE in a big way. I think that he could have done way more, and then they could have promoted the UK tournament even more with him being the Universal Champion, maybe having the Universal Champion go over there. I mean, there's so many things they could have done, but him getting injured really sucks, but... So going to the wrestling industry news, I have a backup, but I put TNA sold with a question mark because, you know, we don't know still. But I think the biggest thing that's happened to wrestling was the brand extension. I mean, that's something that, I mean, realistically, we've talked about for years, it felt like. And then finally they do it and you're like, you know, SmackDown's way better now because, you know, than Raw. So, I mean, that is my industry wrestling news. The wrestling industry news, that is mine, and I would love to hear your thoughts on what yours are, Roger.
I think the brand split was definitely notable, but I would argue that it was contained within WWE. It didn't necessarily have a ton of impact outside. The one thing to me that, and I know we talked about this, and you guys even talked about it before me and Doug became regulars, was that TNA was always considered that number two company, the alternative place for guys to go. And I think this was the year we kind of finally saw them fall off for good. You know, they aren't going to be what WCW was to WWE. There will be no Monday Night War. There won't be any Thursday Night War. It's like, at this point, TNA is probably the third or fourth most important company in the U.S., and I don't think it's ever coming back between their legal battles, as we talked about. And, you know, we saw Kurt Angle leave. Obviously, Sting had already left. And, you know, they're probably not any higher standing than Ring of Honor, to be quite honest.
So you're thinking, like, Ring of Honor, even like something like PWG would be way better than TNA, what they're doing.
I mean, I think for one, like, NXT destroyed TNA as far as being a better brand, even if it's still part of WWE. I would say Ring of Honor has more importance because of their deal with NJPW. I mean, you know, you look at Cody Rhodes, I think he showed up at Bound for Glory, but hasn't wrestled, whereas he's actually been wrestling full time for Ring of Honor. And usually when you left WWE, you went to TNA for the most part, like Christian did it and Kurt Angle did it and all the other guys. And now it's like, people look at TNA, you know, I know Sandow did it and a couple other guys, but TNA isn't that alternative to WWE that we maybe thought it would be. It's kind of turned into like an indie promotion, really.
Kind of going off of what Roger was saying, I was actually thinking about Daniel Bryan retiring being the biggest news, but I want to go with WCPW starting, and which what Roger was kind of saying, though, they already have more followers on YouTube than TNA does. What? They've had great matches. Yeah, WCPW has more followers than TNA does on YouTube. But they've had some great, great matches. Kurt Angle's been wrestling over there. Cody Rhodes is currently their internet champion. Yeah, it is. The storylines on some of it aren't the greatest, but they have pulled some of those great indie stars. Morrison was just over there for a show or a couple shows. And I mean, they're pulling all these indie stars over there to put on great shows, and they're doing a great job of it. So you kind of see a lot more indies are being promoted higher, and they're getting these top stars to come here. And so they have a better place to go to than just WWE and getting, you know, squashed in the backstory because they're not John Cena.
So for me, and I think those are all really great items, I actually chose WWE rating talent, which happened in January, in particular them going to NJPW, but also going to TNA, too. Because if you think about it, they took a lot of great stars from TNA, and there's some rumors out there right now that there might be some old TNA guys actually appearing at the Royal Rumble in January. So for me, I think it was I think that was definitely one of the biggest news items of the year.
So really, you think that they're going to raid a couple of TNA guys? Do you think someone like Magnus would be great?
Well, he's not TNA anymore,
you know, so I mean. And right, yeah, right. He left TNA, so.
I heard there is a possible rate of Ring of Honor people, too, coming soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think everyone has kind of pegged Adam Cole to definitely be on WWE's radar. I mean, he's young. He's got their look. You know, he has a Shawn Michaels, Dolph Ziggler vibe to him. So it wouldn't surprise me. And the Young Bucks obviously have been hot. So I don't think anyone would be shocked if they kind of said, you know, bring those guys over.
All right. So let's go to Worst Feud. I'm going to start this off, and it's going to be anything with Roman Reigns.
But what about AJ Styles?
So really, is the worst feud Roman Reigns and Vince McMahon versus the internet? Is that really the worst feud of the year? Is that what we're going with? Roman Reigns versus the fans?
Yeah. But yeah, so definitely anything with Roman. And I'm sorry, AJ Styles made him look good. But then after that, he just sucked. So Aaron, what is your worst feud of the year?
So mine is probably going to be a little more controversial because, you know, like if you have too much ice cream, you know, like you can have too much ice cream, right? The first bite's good, but when you get to the 7,000th bite, you might want to say, all right, that ice cream is not good anymore. And for me, the 7,000th bite of ice cream is Sasha and Charlotte. And that is my worst feud of the year, not because they had bad matches, but because I didn't care about it. You know, it'd been going on, to be quite honest, that'd been going on, I think, since the Rumble, was it, or Fastlane? That feud has been going on for.
The Rumble, that's when Sasha came back.
Yeah, and it just now ended. And I did not care about that feud at all. And every match was their last match until it wasn't, you know? So that is my worst feud.
See, I was considering this guy for my Fallen From Grace wrestler, but you have to fall in order to do it. So my worst feud is Corbin versus anybody.
All right.
So actually, similar to what Aaron said, you know, when you've seen something 7, 8, 9, 10 times, it gets old and it gets boring. And to me, I think the worst feud is something that hurt both teams, and it really hurt the club. And that was New Day versus the club. That feud was terrible. It lasted forever. It basically buried the club. They haven't been a legit threat since. No one takes them seriously. I'm not saying they should have won the titles, but I think they could have booked them better. That segment they did with the Old Day was like the worst. It was so bad that I think the New Day actually came out the following week and apologized for how bad that segment was. So it was just like, you know, feuds are supposed to make at least one person look better. Both sides came out looking bad after this feud. That to me is the worst you can do in a feud.
Well, the worst feud, going from the worst feud, what was the feud of the year for you, Roger?
Feud of the year to me was Miz Ziggler, actually. Mostly because it was two guys who were rejuvenated. It was a perfect showcase of the brand extension. And to me, this is where I think Miz really stepped up his game. He really came off like a jerk. You know, he made people care about Ziggler only 1 month after that Ziggler-Ambrose feud really fell flat. And to me, I think that, you know, Ziggler putting his career on the line, it looked like he maybe was leaving. So for him winning the title is a good moment. I think that was probably the best feud WWE did all year.
My feud of the year goes to AJ Styles versus anybody. Just in the fact that AJ Styles had such a great year. Even going back to his New Japan wrestling, him versus Nakamura was absolutely one of the best at Wrestle Kingdoms. So AJ Styles has just been on fire ever since the beginning of the year. Him versus anybody's always been entertaining. He even made Roman Reigns entertaining. That's how good of a feud that was.
So, Doug, I have to ask, though, of AJ's feuds, what is the best feud to you then?
I don't think we've gotten to his best feud yet in WWE. I'm sure that is to come still, but his versus Cena was surprisingly, I think, one of the best feuds of the year, just because him coming out and talking about how Cena buries new talent and everything like that. I couldn't believe they allowed him to do that. And then the fact that he actually got the victory over Cena. So both surprising moments and good keystones for AJ Styles and his future career with WWE.
So kind of funny, but Doug, I picked the exact same thing. I said AJ Styles versus anyone. And, you know, I was going to say, too, you know, you mentioned Roman Reigns. And for a man who can pull Roman Reigns to a 4-star match, I mean, that says something.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, he did. He clawed his way to a 4-star match. So AJ Styles to me versus anyone, it did not matter. He could have wrestled a broom. He could have wrestled Great Khali, and it would have been a good match.
It might have been actually a 2-star match with Great Khali. And Khali's just standing there. So mine, I had a 2 because one I believe is the feud of the year, and one I think should give at least an honorable mention. And that is, of course, the first one is Matt Hardy Delete. When he started doing the whole Delete thing, I didn't think it would catch on like it did. And that to me was like anything that they did, it was money. But my feud of the year, I have to agree with the other two, AJ Styles versus anyone. Because he made everyone look good, and I think his first month in the WWE was a little tough, but I believe after WrestleMania, he's been hot since. The last 8 months, he has been hot. So I think AJ Styles has been able to, like I said, he made Roman Reigns to a 4-star match, which says something, because Roman Reigns has never had them with someone that stunk. We'll just leave it at that. Someone has to make him.
So for those of you following along at home, 3 of the 4 of us picked AJ Styles versus everyone as the feud of the year. So anybody want to put odds on who the wrestler of the year is? Because if you can't get this right in 2 guesses, I really feel sorry for you.
Roman Reigns.
Is there anyone who's going to disagree? Is there a choice outside of the obvious right now? Doug?
Are we going to skip to that one? Because I thought we were going to save that one for last.
You know, I'm fine with that. Okay. I agree. I mean, to me, this was an easy one. AJ Styles. He came in January. He's had a really great run. I didn't like the fact that the way they lost Roman Reigns so much. I think that the only difference I would make, he should have beat Jericho at WrestleMania. That's the only thing I would change. You know, there obviously Roman Reigns is their golden boy, so that's fine. He loses 2 matches. You know, in a way he won 2 of the falls in the Extreme Rules or the payback match. But either way, AJ Styles, I think, is far and away wrestler of the year.
I would have even argued him and Jericho should have just been in the ladder match and not done the singles match.
Oh,
because
yeah.
We'd already seen it enough and just let those two tear it up in that match.
Andy,
so is everybody else going AJ Styles? Other than me?
So I had a debate. Because I know we talked about this before, and I almost put The Miz actually as my wrestler of the year, but AJ turned it to a new level when he just started. You know, not only did he carry Roman, who is not good, to 2 very entertaining matches, he then probably put on one of the best matches of the year with John Cena. And in fairness, you know, Big Match John is Big Match John, but that was obviously mostly AJ Styles. Then he took who was pretty much kind of a boring Ambrose for a while and put on not one, but 2 really good matches. I mean, I didn't see anything where I could say it wasn't AJ Styles at this point. He, from January to December, he has been so good that he could pretty much step into the ring with anyone, be it Ellsworth, Baron Corbin. He might be able to carry Dana Brooke to a good match. That's how good I think he's been this year, that he could maybe take Dana Brooke and make her entertaining. And that, folks, means you are the wrestler of the year.
Wow, you pulled out Dana Brooke. Wow. Doug. What are your thoughts?
See, I agree with a lot of those points, but I have to go with Nakamura as my wrestler of the year, just in the aspect of your dance partner can only get you so far and make you look good. Nakamura has had the better dance partners and the better people to wrestle with, one of them being AJ Styles at Wrestle Kingdom, like I mentioned earlier. So he gets my Wrestler of the Year aspect.
And of course, mine has to go to AJ Styles. There's no way I can even argue Nakamura as well, because he would be a really close second. But for me, it was definitely AJ Styles, and he's only been in the WWE for 11 months, and he's more over than anything right now. I think he has surpassed Kevin Owens, and I think probably basically draw and also match quality. He's beating Owens, which I never thought would happen, but he's doing it. So, but yeah, that is.
And
definitely...
he's even gotten solid on the microphone. His corny redneck gimmick is actually funny. Mm-hmm. Because that was always his weakness, is that he was a bad promo, in my opinion. Like, I love AJ,
oh, yeah,
but his mic skills were subpar. In TNA, he was known for really stupid promos. And this whole face that runs the place and champ that runs the cap, really corny stuff, it fits him to a T. Like, it's like, I'm so good that I can be a complete dork, and it doesn't matter because I'm the best wrestler in the world. Deal with it. Like, it works.
Yeah. So let's go back to Best Woman Wrestler of the Year. Roger, what are your thoughts?
So this one was down to two for me. Charlotte has been the most dominant, I would say, of the females. I don't think she's lost a pay-per-view singles match at all. I think her only loss is to the tag match where Bayley made her surprise debut at Battleground. So I was very, very tempted to pick Charlotte. But kind of to what Aaron said, is that you can't have a feud that bad. And not that the matches were bad, but that feud with Sasha was so boring and just so drawn out. And it was basically the full year that I just got tired of seeing Sasha and Charlotte. And I got tired of seeing Sasha and Charlotte just trade the title. But it was like Asuka. Every time she comes on the screen at a big match, it's been entertaining. Whether it's Mickey or the series with Bayley, or even the match with Nia Jax that was better than expected. To me, I think she's the female wrestler of the year. And I really hope that she is done properly on the main roster when she comes up.
I think my blissful decision to go with Asuka. I'm sorry. No, I am. I'm going with Asuka in everything that Roger said. The fact that she's been so dominant over the full year, she hasn't had a single loss, which has been great storyline. She's put on some great matches. I think one of their best matches so far was with Mickie James this last takeover. And the fact that, you had her be that cocky attitude person, and here you thought maybe the veteran could come and teach her some manners. And you kind of had that during the match, and then all of a sudden Asuka pulls out the win, but still does it dominantly to a point where she's been the best wrestler NXT has. And I think NXT has had some great storylines, great matches. So if you are their champion, I think you should get the title of Best Woman.
Yeah, and I'm in agreement too. Asuka for me, and for all the reasons just mentioned, and her match against Bayley at Takeover, Takeover Dallas. When we looked at the card, we said that was the worst match, and that was not a disrespectful thing to say, because that was one of the best matches. That was like a 4.5-star match. And to say that, I mean, obviously that card was stacked. So Asuka easily, for all the reasons that everyone else just mentioned.
Do you think that NXT could put on a 4-hour pay-per-view with everyone, all their talent wrestling, and actually make it entertaining enough where you're like, wow, I could go for another 4 hours? Do you think they could do it at this point, Aaron?
That might be too much.
Are you talking about right now, or maybe NXT with like all of their talent in their prime?
In their prime. Like, I would say anyone who's been at NXT in the last 18 months will say.
You could take like this NXT like we saw at like Brooklyn, and then paste it with like the NXT Brooklyn from the previous year, and then maybe you have a chance. But I think 4 hours is too long. I agree with Aaron that really there's just a certain point when you get tired, like just as a fan. Right. I remember at Dallas, I was exhausted by the time we got to the main event, because it was like we were just cheering so much for all these matches. And then if you throw in another hour worth of matches, you just get tired. Like it's almost overkill.
Andy, who's your women's wrestler?
Eva Marie.
Okay, so for real this time.
Asuka. There's no way that you could do anyone else but Asuka. So she is definitely the Woman Wrestler of the Year. She's tearing up down to NXT. And if, like, I think we've said it before multiple times so far, Sasha and Charlotte, if they only did that for half the time that they did it, there would be an argument on who is the Wrestler of the Year in that case. But Tag Team of the Year. I'm going to start this off with you, Doug. Who is the Tag Team of the Year?
See, I think this one should be a no-brainer, and it's got to be the Revival and the fact that they had such great matches with Enzo and Cass, with Team Alpha, and now just, again, blowing it away with DIY. They have revived the tag team whole essence, and I kind of saw a couple of the things that even Sheamus and Cesaro are stealing from the Revival to make their matches actually decent. So if you as a pro athlete have to steal from an NXT person, then that is my tag team of the year.
Oh yeah. I mean, I concur with Doug 100%. And we said this before that, you know, and I think in 2015, NXT pretty much showcased the women and really showed that they kind of were the forefront for this Divas Revolution. Well, 2016, they lived up to their names about being the Revival. They brought tag team wrestling to the front, and they had outstanding matches, whether it was Roadblock with Enzo and Cass, to Alpha at Dallas, to DIY at the TakeOver Series. They have been top-notch. You know, seeing them in live, we gained a new appreciation for their ability to enact kind of the trash talk, but their in-ring work has been to a new level. But to me, not only are they a tag team of the year, I don't even see anyone, and no disrespect to the Young Bucks and how over they've been, I don't think anyone's close to them.
Yeah, and I agree too. And also, no disrespect to the New Day, but yeah, I think the Revival, they tore it up this year. And like you said, when we saw them live, them trash talking, but also if they, for something happened, like I swear, like 2 months prior to WrestleMania, all of a sudden they just started doing, their matches were really, really good. And you're like, what the heck's going on here? I was shocked about it. So the Revival is definitely my tag team of the year. Aaron.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer. And you know, the thing for New Day, even though they held the titles for, you know, 11 and a half months out of the year, I don't think that you can really pick them because they had been put in some very interesting spots where they were like, they lost at WrestleMania for whatever reason, you know, to a team that is no longer, you know, some of the people aren't even with the company anymore, was the League of Nations, right? Half of them aren't with the company. So whatever. Yeah, Revival easily. Next one, we have Match of the Year, which is going to be our final category. Match of the Year, in my opinion, and I'm interested to hear what you guys have to say, I really feel that there's only probably like two, maybe three contenders for this. One of
really?
Them, in my opinion, like when I think back about like the match that I watched, that was like, oh my God, that was insane. I think that AJ Styles versus Nakamura was at Wrestle Kingdom this past year was fantastic. And maybe you could say Okada's match with Tanahashi was also really good. But for me, part of it, I think, is because I happened to see it live, I have to go with Sami Zayn Nakamura. That was a match that I've watched that now probably 3-4 times. And every time I watch it, it's just this. They had an idea going into that match. Every move was something special. They did it for a particular reason, and they told a story in there that didn't need to have all this fluff. It didn't have to be a blood feud. It didn't have. They just went in there and they put on some amazing wrestling that really had the crowd just going nuts for it. So, in my opinion, that is the greatest match of the year.
So this would have been a very difficult choice for me. Because I had five matches to me, and I haven't actually even seen Styles Nakamura at Wrestle Kingdom, so I want to see that because I thought AJ Cena tore it up. I thought the Revival and DIY at Toronto tore it up. I thought the Fatal 4-Way match with Miz, the IC one, I thought that was beyond fantastic. And I also thought Ibushi Alexander, kind of the match that really was the standout one from the CWC, was also like match of the year quality. I didn't think it was the match of the year, but... And I agree with Aaron on this. We were there live, and Nakamura Zayn, you could have added another 15 minutes to that match, and I would have loved those 15 minutes without question. That, to me, was the match of the year. That's probably the second best match I've ever seen, and that's including seeing three WrestleManias. That match was so good that, you know, I felt like the entire trip was made from just getting to see that match alone.
I wanted to point out that I have the number one, but my number two, and I have to throw this in there, was Ibushi and Alexander in the CWC. That was a great match. I mean, there's not a lot of bad things I can even say about it. It was just so good. I really enjoyed it. But of course, I will have to go with Sami versus Nakamura. I can't. there's nothing that can change that. That was, it was just, to me, it was so good. And just going back and re-watching it, I thought when we watched it live, I really thought it was almost 40 minutes. And it was only, I mean, it was 25 minutes if I'm correct. But still, it just felt like it kept going and going and going. And we were like at the edge of our seat the entire time. But that is my match of the year. Doug, what's your match of the year?
I'm going to go ahead and sweep it. I do want to say, though, that Nakamura AJ, for me, was one of the greatest matches. And just starting off the year with AJ and Nakamura, what they were going through, the fact that you kind of knew that they were signing with WWE, so this was their last match at New Japan Wrestling, made it a big feel moment, and they really pulled it through. I believe that was a 5-star rated match. But seeing it live, it really does. And you know, to anybody who just watches every match over the year off a screen or anything like that, to go to these events, feel the crowd, the emotion that's going through the crowd, to see the aspirations of the wrestlers, just the love that they showed for Sammy and Nakamura, Nakamura's debut match at NXT, this had big match feel, and they didn't disappoint at all. This was Sammy's last match. It just, there was a lot of elements to this match that made it a wonderful moment, and to see it live just gives it that extra notch to be. I mean, there is no hands down. Sammy Nakamura was the best match.
Now I actually want to watch it. But instead, I'm going to thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or podcaster? Or are you just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click strip installs with a free stapler, hands-on the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code, WrestleMania, you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out our Off the Mark page on section86.com and click on the banner at the top to save big on items from WWEshop.com. So predictions for 2017. Doug, you have two.
Oh, God. You got to start off
opposed
with me.
To okay. Last year's five.
Well, just do one, Doug, and then we'll okay. Go back and forth.
All right. Then I guess I'm going to throw a softball kind of up there, and I'm going to say that this is The Undertaker's last year. He retires this year.
That's bold.
Really? Because I really thought that was kind of my softball one.
I mean, he did come out and say he's not going to be defined by WrestleMania anymore, so it made it sound like he was around. I'm going to throw my softball one out there, too. I think despite the fact that the quality on SmackDown has been better for a while, I think Raw had still been drawing better ratings. But I think this year is the year where SmackDown finally overtakes Raw and becomes the true number one show. I think people are starting to realize that they're getting better bang for their buck on SmackDown. I think it's going to pass in the ratings, despite it being Tuesday night, not being the flagship. And it's going to tick Vince off. But I think it's going to pull what they did in 02 and 03 with Heyman. They're going to be the A show in ratings.
So I don't know if it's a softball or not, but I'm going to say TNA goes out of business.
Whoa. Aaron's finally TNA's going out of business?
Isn't that your prediction of the last 4 years?
It might have been, but I think that it's finally the time. I think that TNA, as we know it, will cease to exist. You know, they may stick around and, you know, maybe some other company buys them and they rebrand it. But I think the name TNA and the company TNA is going to be completely gone. It'll be something completely new if that goes that route, or they just dissolve entirely.
It will be owned by Impact Ventures.
I don't know. I think TNA is just going to be gone. That's just a quick little prediction. How about you, Andy?
I'm going to say it right now. I believe that. Now I'm rethinking this. That's great. I believe that 205 Live will actually be on USA TV somewhere. It doesn't somewhere on the NBC. I believe that'll be out there. I think 205 Live will be there.
205 Live will be on TV.
I believe.
Well, considering his Nostradamus prediction of 205 Live, we can basically just set our DVR, can't we? And just assume it'll be on USA now.
No, I actually believe USA. They'll do Monday, Tuesday, and then I think they'll do something on Saturdays, like a Saturday night type deal where they just run it, because it doesn't. It's not. It's basically either that or a Modern Family that ran on Friday night or whatever. And I think that's the real reason why I'll be on TV because of that. But that's my thoughts. Sorry, Doug.
Back to me. So I believe last year I predicted correctly the Money in the Bank winner. So this year I'm going to say Ty Dillinger debuts at number 10 at the Royal Rumble.
Okay.
I'm going to predict something that I think everyone has been calling probably for the last 10 years, but I don't think anyone believed it would happen. And I think now is probably the time they'll do it. I think we finally see for the first time since 2003, John Cena goes heel. I think he fully embraces the hate instead of fighting it. I think he turns into a corporate type champion where he becomes a part-timer, which irritates people. I think he's going to be the guy who says, I'm the good guy regardless of what you said because I do all the Make-A-Wish stuff, but then he just acts like a jerk on camera and does things that, like, I can get title shots just because I'm John Cena. And I think they have probably the most overheel in the company because the crowd loves booing him. John Cena sucks is just fun to chant.
And mine, last one, I'm going to say that Adam Cole not only joins the NXT roster, but becomes champion before the end of the year.
Wow. I think all these are softballs so far. I want to predict. I have one that if it happens, I must be working for the WWE. But I
the Miz in the final four of the Royal Rumble?
Oh, no, not that. Okay. My thought was that WWE tries to purchase New Japan Pro Wrestling and fails.
Is New Japan for sale?
No, but I believe they're going to try and buy them. I'm just reaching for something. For some reason, I think with what they're doing with having the UK tournament, they're also going to have a tournament, you know, women's tournament. I believe that they're going to try and do something over in Japan.
And you should have, if you wanted to, that's a very, very bold prediction. If you wanted to make it more kind of vague, you should have said a Japanese promotion because AJPW is actually in dire straits. And they,
that's what I was,
because AJPW, it's actually quite fascinating. They were the WWE and WCW back in the day, basically, AJ and NJ. And NJPW has totally taken over as the premier wrestling program there. And AJPW right now is probably not even on TNA's level. I mean, it's fallen quite a bit. So, you know, I mean, I could see maybe AJ, but I don't know. NJ, that'd be quite tough to do. But
I'm just reaching for something because I think that they're going to try. There's something weird. They're going to try something weird, but I believe that they're going to try at least to purchase them, and then something will fall through where it doesn't happen. Eventually the WWE Network is not going to be WWE Network. It's going to be the Wrestling Network, where you have every type of promotion you can go to, stream stuff, even from like Dreamwave and PWG, PWS. You know, they are doing it right now on the Fight app, I think, or whatever it is. But I believe that WWE is just going to take all that stuff over, and you're going to pay $20 or $30 a month to watch everything wrestling. But it's going to have everything where there's no way in hell you'll be able to watch every show.
Andy, do you think then, if you think they're going to try to buy NJPW, does that mean you think it's pretty clear they're going to buy TNA?
I don't think they're going to buy TNA. I think what will end up happening is that TNA will eventually, they'll just drop the TNA name, they'll rebrand it to something else, and I think Pop TV will then undercut everything. So then they'll say, we'll give you $50,000 a show or whatever to produce this TV show, which is not going to work, but because they would need way more than that. They would need probably at least $200,000. At least four times that I'm out.
Andy, real quick, going along the lines with predictions here, Royal Rumble winner, real quick, who do you think it'll be this year? Happens in a month.
If the person I want to win is I want Sami Zayn to win.
Who do you think will win?
Sami Zayn's the only thing that makes sense right now.
Okay. Roger, how about you?
Well, I mean, that was my pick. So I'm going to go with Sami Zayn. I think the way they've built him, I think he's the best possible opponent for Owens at the Rumble or at Mania. And I feel like kind of by default, everybody else I think is booked for Mania already. I think, you know, if you kind of looked at the feuds with Hunter and Rollins and Reigns and, you know, I could be proven wrong. Obviously, Roman could win it and who knows. But I think Sami Zayn is your underdog. You know, he comes out of nowhere and wins the Rumble.
What if,
Doug, how about
One thing to say about that, what if it's Roman Reigns and Sami Zayn, and then Sami Zayn eliminates him? Is he automatically the top face in the company?
Well, so here's the thing, right? I think what they would do, because of course they'd have to keep Roman looking strong, I could see a scenario where, like, let's say it's like the final three, and Roman and Dean Ambrose, right? Or Roman and whoever take each other out. So that Sami wins, Braun Strowman, that's a perfect example of like those two are so strong that they double clothesline each other over, they both hit the floor. And then Sami Zayn, who's like knocked out in the middle of the ring, wins as like a fluke, you know, guy. And they're like, oh, my God, Sami won it. So then the storyline is that he didn't really do anything to earn the Rumble. Can he beat Kevin Owens for the title? You know, they'll go with that because they don't want Sami to be more over than Roman. So he has to win it in a fluky way. And that's kind of how they could do it.
Do you have Sami beat Kevin Owens, though, at WrestleMania?
Do I, or just WWE?
Do you think the WWE will?
It's in Florida, so, I mean, 50-50. Like, I think if it were, like, in Minnesota or Canada, I think it'd be 100%, because I think you have that moment, like, they would go nuts for it. Not that Florida wouldn't go nuts for it, but with two titles, you know, you can start to have heels retain titles nowadays because, you know, let's say like John Cena Taker happens to be for the title. If that's the main event, then Owens could retain. I don't know. I think Owens, he probably would need a strong win at this point. So I think he would win. I would have Sami go over because that would be an awesome moment to see Sami finally win the big one in the WWE level. But, you know, if we do the WrestleMania show and we turn out to be right and Owens is still the champion, my odds for that would be 50-50. Like, I think he could go either way.
And Doug, how about you? Who do you think is going to win the Royal Rumble?
I'm going to throw this one out on the limb, but I'm going to go with Brock Lesnar.
Wow.
Not a bad choice. I am going to go a different route, though. I'm going to say I think that Finn Balor is going to come back, and I think that he is going to win the Rumble just because they put a lot of stock into him. They could theoretically, if Owens holds the title until Mania, Finn could say, you know what, I never lost the title, and so they have that storyline for the next 2 months. That's who I think
But with that, Aaron, you could also do the same thing where Sami wins it, and then Kevin Owens wants his shot, then Finn comes out the day after WrestleMania and says, I want my shot. You could have a three-way dance then for the next pay-per-view.
But they put a lot of stock into Finn. I mean, you don't have him be the second pick for Raw and then not do anything with him. You don't have him win the Universal title. You don't showcase, you know, the demon gimmick and, you know, give him the title. I mean, they really have been like, you know, they put him up on this pedestal.
One thing I would say though, because I agree with you that I think Finn Balor, obviously they put a lot of stock into him because he has the fact that he never lost a title. If you're going to move him into the WrestleMania slot, you don't actually need to have him win the Rumble. He's got a rematch. Like by default, he could walk out the night after the Rumble and say, I want my rematch at WrestleMania. And then you could let SmackDown win the Rumble if you wanted to go that route because,
true.
You know,
or you know, Brett even too, if they wanted to go that route.
I mean, when's the last time they've done? Oh, the Bryan match was the triple bet. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Technically 31, but, you know.
Cash in.
See, this is what I'm thinking, though. Brock Lesnar wins the Royal Rumble. Then it's him versus Goldberg to see who actually goes to WrestleMania to face off against the Raw champion. Somehow they tie, disqualification or whatever. Triple threat, Roman Reigns goes over Goldberg and Brock Lesnar because we got to make him look strong.
Does he hit it with a double spear and then pins them both with one hand?
Not even one
finger.
Hand.
No, his pinky. Finger. His pinky. Right. He puts it down.
He's just going to go out from the start and double finger point of death to both of them. And Vince is going to be like, that's my guy, as he finally climaxes and, you know, keels over.
And people pull out newspapers and start reading them because they're like, this is more entertaining. Or someone throws a broom in the ring, and they're like, broom, 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 broom.
Oh, and Roman Reigns throws
it out. We want Mitch. We want the plant, Mitch.
Do you think Roman Reigns could be the first, like, because, you know, Cena got a lot of boos for being the top face. Do you think Roman could be the first guy where the crowd actually turns their back on him? Like an all and out revolt where they're just so sick and tired of him. Let's say he's in the main event where the crowd just all gets up and like in mass and just turns their back to him. Like, is something kind of like a, you know, screw you, Roman. We're tired of this.
I could definitely see that being set up via Reddit or anything for the Raw after WrestleMania, because I just think there's going to be too many people at WrestleMania to do it. But the Raw afterwards is always that rowdy crowd, you know, who do whatever they want. They don't necessarily follow the scheme, you know, JBL thing. but I think that would be the crowd. I mean, we were yelling for the Sheraton at that Raw. So
travel package.
Yeah. That was the chant of the year. I'm going to be quite honest.
The chant of the year.
Sheraton and Beach Ball were the two best chants I think I heard all. Actually, I would take it back. I think Beach Ball was the best chant because we turned the security guard heel when he didn't get the chant back. So, like, not only did Beach Ball get a chant more than Roman did, he got someone over more than Roman did. So, Beach Ball might have been the contender wrestler of the year. Beach Ball was effective in his one appearance.
I would say, like, getting the travel package, it's funny because WrestleMania itself was not nearly as entertaining as everything else we did. And right. I'm very glad we went. I'm glad I got to see WrestleMania, got to see AT&T Stadium. But it's funny to think that NXT was definitely the highlight. The Monday Night Raw after was the second, you know? And then, I mean, Hall of Fame was whatever, but...
Access was fun. You know, I enjoyed Access.
Access was fun.
Yep. But my thing was with WrestleMania, it wasn't the fact that the show was not as good as it could have been. But the problem was that the shirts and no hold barred match for Triple H and Roman Reigns, that didn't happen. No, but in all seriousness, it was the fact.
No disqualification.
Yeah, no disqualification. That's what it was. My problem was the fact that when we got there, we waited in line for an hour, and I had dudes that haven't showered in probably months, like, all up on me. I mean, it was horrible.
I'm sorry, you were just, you know, you were a sexy
right
beast,
so. But I found it funny that when we kept saying nasty things, chanting it, there's multiple videos where you see guys in blue and that's us. So I always got a kick out of that. But anything that, like, show moment of the year, of course, was when we all went to WrestleMania. That was really cool to see everyone and also go to the event, hit NXT. Hall of Fame was there. I mean, the Freebird thing was pretty cool with Michael Hayes. That was really cool.
Ric Flair's stories were pretty good too, because
oh my god, that's what they got to put on the network
stories. Yeah,
just Ric Flair. I mean, anytime you see him on that new animated show that they have, Ric Flair was telling about the plane from X.
Honestly, if they did story time with Ric Flair, I'd watch that on a weekly basis.
Right. That would be the video of the year.
Yeah. Because I guarantee he's got stories to fill up at least 2 to 3 years of content. Like, I'm sure all of them are PG, but that I would definitely love to know some of. Because, like, you know, all of the things, now granted, who knows how accurate they would be, but could you imagine, like, him telling the story of, like, how everybody felt when Hogan arrived in WCW, or what people really thought of Bischoff in the NWO, or, like, go back to 92 and, like, the night he found out he was going to win the Royal Rumble, but from number three, and dealing with Bobby the Brain. Like, you know, I just feel like he, you know, he's been around for so long, and, you know, he could just tell some really awesome stories.
See, I would want to do it more in the style of Drunk History, where you get him a little bit tipsy and then just ask him one question and then let him rant over the next hour.
That could also be done.
I'll send his publicist an email, see if we can get him on the show at one point. But, like, we want you to be liquored up first. Okay, that should not be a problem. This is what we want to talk about. So, but yeah, so that anyway, so I want to thank everyone for joining us on this special, the end of the year show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthMork86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Doug Hahn, Roger Caven, Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.